Welcome, everybody. TGIF. Goodness, we made it again. If you're joining us, folks, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio and Network. We got a special pre-recorded, but very fresh, very brand new segment that we are now calling Ask Maggie. You can find it here across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network at 3 p.m. every Friday afternoon. It's a way to talk about politics without talking about politics, and maybe not to talk about politics at all, depending on what the questions are, which is kind of the point. And if you've been listening to my show for basically more than 5 minutes, you know that one of my failings is that I can go on a bit about things. I can get myself riled up into quite the lather. And so part of the trick here is that I am limited to either 30 or 60 seconds to answer your questions. If you have questions, you can email them to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Really, they can be questions about any gosh darn thing you want. What I've done, stupid things I've done, experiences, I've worked in all kinds of different roles. It can be political questions. It can be deep philosophical questions. Who is your favorite philosopher would be a really not deep, but yet philosophical question. Anything you want, ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. Each week, I'm joined by my producer running the board, as well as my senior producer and friend, Jamie Martinson. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Sam, who's running the board today. I can't wait to do this with all of you. And legit, folks, on a week-over-week basis, I have no idea what I'm being asked. So, yeah, there's a spontaneity element here as well. So, Jamie, I'm going to hand it over to you
okay.
and Sam to, you know, probably get me to say some embarrassing things this Friday afternoon.
So how are you with being spontaneous, though? Is this something that's true to your nature, or are you very much a gotta plan it out? Because, I mean, I work with you on a daily basis. I know how the show goes itself, but on, you know, just when you're at home, you're chilling, are you normally spontaneous, or do you like to have a good plan?
So the answer, you'd be shocked. You should probably put me on a timer for this, Jamie and Sam, because the answer is complicated. As a lawyer and as a trial lawyer, you are preparation
sure.
and a plan is drilled into you. But the very nature of being a stand on your feet trial lawyer is that stuff is going to happen in that courtroom that you do not anticipate,
sure.
right? Witnesses are going to say things that you didn't think they were going to say. And so the key is to be prepared so that you can be spontaneous. That's generally been my approach for the show.
Right.
But this is all in my professional sphere. In my personal realm, I have basically two modes. And there are only two modes. And the two mode is on and off. And if I am in off mood, there will be no spontaneity. I will be holding the couch down to the best of my benefit with my Kindle and my dog
sure.
curled up in a fetal like ball, not wanting to engage with the outside world at all. But if I am in on mode and somebody's like, let's go to Great America and ride some roller
sure.
coasters this Saturday, I will go. So I can be very spontaneous, or you're not getting anything from me.
I love that you just have bravery to go on a roller coaster. Let me tell you, the merry-go-round, whoo, gets to be a little too crazy for me. So,
okay, Jamie, we're doing this then. We're going to Great America this summer. It's happening.
Okay. So should we start with a question? Because I feel like we got to get you into this. And we've got some really good questions.
Start with an easy question.
Then let's do this. We've got Dale, who actually texted in from the La Crosse area. 30 seconds for this, Sam. Are you ready, Maggie? When you're sitting at AmFam in the middle of a Brewers game, are you a hot dog or are you a brat person, and what are your topics?
Oh, I love this question. I love this question. First of all, Dale from the La Crosse area, I am D, all of the above. Give me a hot dog. Give me a brat. There is a guy with the best sausage stand in the stadium at around section 210. He's got a flat top grill. He puts the kraut on there and the onions. So I love a pile of kraut on both hot dog and brat. I love a pile of sauteed onions on both hot dog and brat. And then on my hot dog, I prefer a little relish.
Go
ahead,
finish.
Oh, my God.
No, finish.
Okay,
it's okay.
I'm going to finish. A little relish, little German brown mustard, little ketchup on my brat. I also like a little brown mustard and ketchup. And Dale, I'm going to tell you that. That's just round one of the eating festivus that is a Brewer game for this gal. I will eventually then later get to the helmet nachos because I'm not going to AmFam Field without a gosh darn helmet of nachos, preferably split, but I have no shame. I'll polish that puppy off all by myself.
Well, I think that's the way you do it. Now, I learned that there's ice cream at AmFam, right? I grew up in South Dakota.
Not just ice cream, there's custard.
I know. I grew up in South Dakota. We don't have any professional sports teams. So when I got here and I was like, oh, the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks, right? This is like triple anomaly stuff at this point. And I was like, and I can watch baseball and have some custard? I mean, who are these people? Then I realized I'm in Wisconsin where everything's about dairy. So it's fine.
Yeah, it is. We call it a dairy forward household. You want your cheese, your creams, your full fat milks, full fat lattes, custards. Yes. And if I'm getting custard at AmFam, I know you didn't ask this, Dale. I like the custard that is the vanilla chocolate twist, which is sacrilege to some custard purists, but I like it. It's like having my cake and eating it too. I don't have to choose.
Even Sam is nodding in here with me today.
Yes, my brother. Yeah. My brother.
You got to do the twist.
All right, we got an easy one under my belt.
All right, so I started off pretty easy. I didn't realize it was going to get that complicated, but of course I get it.
It
when we're talking toppings, right? Yeah. All right, so this one's going to be a little trickier, all right?
Okay.
So this comes to us from, Scott in Madison, and he wants to know, and this is going to be a 60-seconder, how much is it going to cost the federal government to reissue everyone new Social Security numbers and all the back-end databases that need to be fixed because of Elon Musk and his minions? 60 seconds, Maggie.
I'm going to expand your question a little bit, Scott, because what you're really asking me is what is the cost to unscrew up what is getting screwed up, right? And, I thought they were all about efficiency and effectiveness. The reality here is that the vast majority of people that work for the federal government do jobs that literally do not have any political or partisan bend to them at all. These are people that are executing technical job functions. 16% of federal employees work in healthcare. So what is it that Elon's cutting and dismantling? These are, again, people that aren't doing partisan policy work. They're just executing job functions. So I think the big picture question here is, once he breaks it, how big is the bill that comes to American taxpayers to try to fix what he's breaking? And I think it's going to probably end up being a generationally large expense. And think of it this way. He's purporting to save taxpayer dollars. I want to know what the net savings is. You know, in 10 years, was there one single penny of savings after you break it and we have to rebuild it? Because, you know, getting healthcare to veterans isn't something you can just burn to the ground without there being impact. So I think on a net basis, it's going to cost us quite a bit of money to fix what Elon has broke. Did I just blow past my 60 seconds?
It's okay. It was you blew way past it, but we had to let you get the thought out because way past, but that's okay. It was a good answer. We had to get it up.
It's an important topic.
It is.
It is an important topic.
It is.
If you can, Sam, can you turn the music up just a little bit in my headphones? Because then I can maybe hopefully try to wrap things up on my timer designated limit.
Do we have time for another question?
We do. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's do one more. And this is going to be another 60. Are we good on time if we do 60? All right. Looking at Sam for our cues here. So this is an email from a listener in Wausau. Didn't sign their name. Remember, ask Maggie at civicmedia.us if you want to get your questions in. This listener says, I'm already hearing Trump voters say, I didn't think he actually meant what he was saying. How do we break through that spell that he's cast on so many people, Maggie? 60 seconds to answer.
Oh my gosh, can I just say pass? What about phone a friend? Listener who asked this very, very important question. If someone knew the answer to that perfectly and accurately, we would have solved the moment's political problem. Because my genuine good faith belief is that nobody thought when they voted for Donald Trump that he was literally just going to hand the keys of the government over to Elon Musk, create a billionaire overlord, and say, well, to hell with the consequences. Nobody expected that. Yep, we expected some suggestions. I thought they were actually going to do a good faith audit. Maybe start with the Department of Defense, which has the biggest budget line item in the federal government. I don't know, not USAID that has a paltry 10,000 employees. Okay, I've digressed. How do we get people to realize it? I think we got to talk about how it's affecting them and their families, especially in the ways that might not be totally obvious. But I think some of these negative impacts are going to become clearer and clearer with each passing day. I almost made it on the buzzer.
That was very good. Very, very nice. Look at how excited she is that she almost made it to the buzzer.
Listen, I was always trying to get an A in school. I'll admit it. I'm trying to get done.
Were you an overachiever in school? I have to ask this. Were you like a total overachiever?
Are you actually asking me that question?
Well, I think I know the answer. I just want our listeners to know the answer.
What do you think?
I'm going to say it was a resounding yes. And the only reason I know this is because there's a kindredship between you and I, because I was the exact same way. Exact same way. Competed with myself. Didn't really care what anybody else was doing. But if I brought home a B, it was game on next time.
So this is a really interesting topic. And maybe I can give people a little flavor of, I've done a lot of mentoring and counseling for people at all levels of their education attainment. And I have advice for people when it comes to this, because trying to figure out how to really do the best that you can is less intuitive than it seems. So if you don't mind me seeding a question to me, I might give all of our listeners just a little tidbit of this when we come back. I know we got to take care of a little bit of business coming up here, because I think that's really critical. Folks, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're hearing from my senior producer, Jamie. We got Sam on the board today for today's episode of Ask Maggie. You can find it here in the 3 o'clock hour every Friday. We're going to take care of a little business. We'll be right back with more questions for me and that pesky timer right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.